The congregation would, if you'd like to look at your hymnals for the words of the opening hymn, it's going to be number 358, Because He Lives. Otherwise, the words will also be on the screen there. If you'd please stand together, Because He Lives.
By my heart, and empty grave.
Amen. It is because he lives. Let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. This day that we gather here in this sanctuary and in your wonderful presence. Thank you for the Spirit of the living God here to move among us, to comfort us in this time, certainly of sorrow, to comfort us in this time, certainly of joy, because we know where Belva is. As we just sang, she has seen the lights of glory. She is seeing you, Jesus, in all of your glory. And how amazing that is. And that does give us comfort. And so we come, Lord, with thankfulness for Belva's life. 59 years, almost 60. How she touched us all in incredible ways. And we thank you for that. Father, most of all, we thank you for Jesus and your plan of salvation and redemption, that we know there is so much more beyond life on this earth. And that is an eternity with you in heaven through Christ alone. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'd like to welcome all of you here this morning. Thank you so much for coming. If you've had a chance to read the obituary, you know that Belva loved the sunshine, and we have a sunny day today, a cold sunny day today. So thank you for being here and expressing your love to the family and your prayers. That means so very much to them. Thanks for all that came last night as well. We sing that opening hymn, "It Truly Is Amazing Because Jesus Lives." The chorus, "Because he lives, we can face tomorrow." How do you face a 9-year battle with cancer through all the difficulties of that, ups and downs and the pains and the trials? You face it because you know Jesus and you know he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. How do you face going on with life without Belva? Because Jesus lives. You do, and he gives you the strength because he holds the future. And you know that life is worth the living because of Jesus. I want to read a couple verses from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Now, before I do read this, I also want to say, as I get into the message later, most of those scripture passages Belva had chosen for this day. She was one that put others first, always. So this verse, I chose. As I read it, you'd know she probably would not have chose this for herself, even though I believe this is how she lived. This was from the Apostle Paul, as he knew his departure from this earth was coming very soon, and he said, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." And we think of the joy that Belva is experiencing in heaven. Truly, she fought the good fight. Why is it a good fight? Because in Jesus, we win. We win. That's why it's a good fight. I'd like to read the obituary now. Belva was born in Freeman, South Dakota on February 2nd of 1960 to Leroy and Betty Kirschman. Belva attended the Bender 81 Country School and then later attended school in Menno. She married the love of her life, Roger, on November 11th, 1978. They were able to share 41 wonderful years of marriage together and were blessed with 4 children and 11 grandchildren. Belva spent her years providing in-home daycare, working at the school, nursing home, and an assisted living at Autumn Winds, that's in Yankton. Belva loved to spend time outdoors. She always loved gardening and planting beautiful flowers and just spending time in the sun. One of Belva's favorite summertime events was camping with family. She always looked forward to that time of year to spend vacation with her beloved family. Family was Belva's most prized possession. She enjoyed attending all of her children's events while they were growing up and continued that tradition with her grandkids. Belva knew day to day what her children and grandchildren had scheduled, and that was up to the very end. She was always the one to turn to with questions because she was so organized and knew the answer. Belva was the one that held the family together and will continue to do so by watching over the family from heaven. Belva loved to spend time crocheting, knitting, and cross-stitching such beautiful blankets and pictures for her children and grandchildren. This was very special for her. Belva's oncologist from Mayo always called her a miracle, and she is our miracle for sure. She was a wonderful wife, mother, and grandmother. She took great pride and joy in all her grandkids and watching out for them. We will all take comfort in knowing that she is at peace with her Heavenly Father, and that one day we will all be reunited with her again. We will forever be thankful to God for the time that He gave us with her. Those of us who were blessed to have shared our lives with her are her husband, Roger Heckenleibel, her children, Sherry and Tim Fryer, Krista and Ronnie Derby, Robert and Kristen Heckenleibel, Nicole and John Kisley, and they all live right here in Menno. I'm sure you all know that. What a blessing. And her grandchildren, Weston, Morgan, and Taylor Fryer, Kaylee, Rylan, and Ashlyn Derby, Emmalyn, Landon, and Brinley Heckenleibel, and Lee and Ava Kisley, by her sister, Brenda and Dean Grusing, her brother, Darwin and Carol Kirschman, and her nieces and nephews, Tammy, Stephanie, Pam, Martin, Shauna, Amy, and Kellen, by her aunts and uncles, Mary and Donnie Mitten, Eileen and Jerry Dowling, Merlin and Shirley Kirschman, and Lorraine Howell and Dennis Menke. Belva was preceded in death by her parents, Leroy and Betty Kirschman, her grandparents, Daniel and Edith Watson, and Eugene and Emma Kirschman, by her in-laws, Leon and Lillian Heckenleibel, and Daryl and Marlene Heckenleibel, and 3 grandchildren that she never got to meet on this earth, Serial, Faith, and Hope Heckenleibel. God bless her memory. I'd like to read a portion from John chapter 11, verses 21 through 27. This is a portion of the account when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Very familiar to many of us, but speaks life. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," She told him, "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." And from Psalm chapter 40, verses 1 through 5, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the one who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us, no one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, they would be too many to declare." Amen. We'll have a special music now that's going to be played on the screen via YouTube, "Knowing What I Know About Heaven." This a good friend of the family had emailed this song to one of the girls just minutes, literally, before Belva went home to Jesus. "Knowing What I Know About Heaven." We'll get past the ads here in a second, and then we'll have it.
I bet the trumpets played and the angels sang every sweet refrain of "Amazing Grace," and that heaven's hands opened up the gate and the children danced when they saw your face, as happy as they were to see you coming. I was just as sad to have to watch you go. Oh, but knowing what I know about heaven, believing that you're all the way home, knowing that you're somewhere better, is all I need to let you go. I could hope that I could pray you back, but why on earth would I do that when you're somewhere life and love never ends? Oh, knowing what I know about heaven, where every single voice makes a joyful noise. How sweet the sound when the saints rejoice, to every broken heart and every wounded soul new life begins on streets of gold. With every tear that's raining here from my eyes, I know the sun is shining where you are. Oh, knowing what I know about heaven, believing that you're all the way home, knowing that you're somewhere better, is all I need to let you go. You're somewhere life and love never ends. Oh, no.
Let's bow our heads once more, please. Father, we thank you for your word, the very living word of God, living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide asunder between soul and spirit and joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. Lord, by your word, you give us strength, you give us comfort. You tell us things about heaven. You tell us how to get there through Jesus. You tell us how to live this life on earth, and we thank you for it. So thank you, Father, for speaking to us by your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. One more passage of scripture, this is one that Belva had marked, Matthew 6, verses 19 through 24. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. We'll sing one more hymn, and then I'll get into the message. Number 705, you can remain seated. This was specifically chosen by Belva for today. As I shared with the family, and maybe a lot of you know the story behind this hymn, written in the late 1700s by an attorney who lived in Chicago, and he and his wife were to go to England for a vacation. They had three daughters. Something came up in his attorney business, and he sent his wife and three girls on ahead by ship over, and as they got closer to England, the ship was lost in a storm, went down, and most everyone died on that ship. This man, Horatio Spafford, his wife lived, his three daughters drowned. And as he got on the next boat to go over, he asked the captain to tell him about where that ship went down. And as he did, God inspired him for the words of this hymn. At times like this, yes, the sorrows like sea billows, they roll. And that's all part of it. Let's sing this. It is well with my soul.
It is well.
Jesus, we can sing that with all of our hearts in Christ, because in Christ it is well with our soul. Without Christ, it is not well with a person's soul. Belva did several things in preparation for this day, preparing. For her stepping over into eternity. Preparations that not even the family were aware of. Writing some letters, doing other things naturally, marking scriptures. Most important, being ready spiritually to meet her Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ. As I said earlier, she had several verses marked in her Bible for today. How beautiful that is. So in a sense, we could say, I'm going to say, that Belva had a part in writing this sermon. As I was given the verses, read through them, several of them, I won't use all of them, I was praying, Lord, show me the pattern here of how to put this all together to glorify our God first and foremost, to honor Belva's life, just as important. So in Matthew 6:19, this is the passage I'm going to work off of that she chose, adding other verses in that she chose, most of them. I'll use some that she didn't. But the first part of that, once again, Jesus said, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Certainly, in one, there's so much in this passage. I'm not here to dissect it all and do this expository thing on this passage. I'm just pulling certain things out. So don't, if you're thinking, why didn't you say this or that? Well, because it would take us all day. That's why. But the question we would have to ask is how? How do you store up treasures in heaven anyway when we live our lives on this earth? How do you do that? Number one, and most importantly, is with your life. As we live this life that God has given us on this earth, and how first and foremost we must give ourselves to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That is step number one. Because if we don't know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, then all we do and work for on this earth, oh sure, it can be wonderful things, many, many wonderful things, but as far as towards heaven, it is for naught. if Jesus is not our Lord and Savior. And that's why we have to receive him as Lord and Savior. As Paul said in Romans chapter 10, what did he say? Therefore, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You know what? We read that today and we think, well, okay, easy enough. Do you know when that was written and the Roman Empire was the world power on the earth and Caesar, the emperor, whoever was emperor, felt he was God, literally, at that time. And it came to a point there in the Roman Empire that they made anyone who lived within their empire, they said, you must confess out of your mouth, Caesar is Lord. Or it meant death. And for the believers in Christ in the early church, they would not confess Caesar is Lord. They were rock solid in their faith. And so they would stand there. What are you going to confess? I'm confessing Jesus is Lord out of my mouth. And they were put to death immediately, instantly. For us, it seems it could be just an easy confession. And for some, yeah, it's just flippantly. For Belva, she meant it. She meant it and lived it. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with the heart that you believe and are justified. It is with the mouth that confession is made and you are saved. And then we could go on to Ephesians chapter 2 where Paul continues in this same vein. He says, it is by grace. By grace, God's grace, you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Not by works. Sure, should works be the evidence of our salvation? Yeah, should be. But that is not our salvation. Belva's faith was evident, very evident in how she lived her life. Now we all know, Belva was not a loud, boisterous person. She had a very quiet, gentle personality. Just living her life for the Lord. Showing her love for the Lord through her actions. And Christ shined through her so brightly. Through her work at the care center, other places, I knew her early in our early years back here, which is 16 years ago, and I watched her work at the care center. She gave herself to the residents and fellow co-workers in such a beautiful, beautiful way. My wife Ann and I visited in her home as the battle with cancer began, and we'd have those visits over these last 9 years, and talked about things, but always got back to God's word and had a prayer time with her. And I mentioned last night, we observed over those years the devotion books. And I mean, she always had her Bible. The devotional books that she loved just sort of increased on that stand by her chair that she would sit in. She loved to read. That was her reading, God's word, devotions that based on God's word. There was a quote I heard once that says, well done is better than well said. So true. Benjamin Franklin said that. Well done is better than well said. I believe that when Belva entered heaven the other day, last Thursday, about just before noon, that Jesus was there saying, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. See, now here's two verses that Belva chose for today under this. How do you store up treasures in heaven? Number one, your life on this earth. Do you live for him or not? She chose Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33. Listen, Jesus said, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him or her before my Father in heaven. Whoever disowns me or denies me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. She chose Matthew 22, 37 and 38. This was when a Pharisee came to Jesus and said, Lord, what is the greatest commandment of the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And of course, then he went on. Loving the Lord with everything that is within us. Number one, storing up treasures in heaven. Secondly, again, there's many more things in this than what I'm going to bring out today. Secondly, as we know Jesus, we're living our life, we got to invest in our family, bringing our children up to know the Lord, investing in their lives, investing in our grandchildren, making sure we're doing everything we can do on our part to know that they are going to know the Lord. It's not an automatic thing by any means. We each have to make that faith our own. So it is by example as we live. What did she show you? She showed you, you don't quit when the going gets tough. She showed you that through the surgeries, the rounds of chemo, the trips back and forth to Rochester, of which most of you were a part of in one sense or another, she showed you her faith as she lived it out. And as I observed over these last 9 years, her faith only got stronger through it all. And I've seen times when people have turned away from the Lord in battles such as what Belva went through, thinking, I thought if I'd serve the Lord, he'd hear my prayers as I want him to be heard. I thought he'd make everything better as I think it should be better. And they turn. But Belva only got stronger in her faith as she walked through the valley of the shadow of death, as we could say. She showed perseverance and faithfulness through it all. Here's a verse she had marked, Romans 8:18. So appropriate. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Let me read that again. That's so cool. She's experiencing that glory right now in heaven. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Praise the Lord. And then she marked Romans 8:38 and 39. Amazing verses. All of God's word is. Paul said, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul went through a lot in his life. He went through a lot. And Belva did too. And she was fully persuaded that God is faithful. That's who he is, our faithful one. How do you store up treasures in heaven? Number one, our life, living it for Christ, knowing him. Secondly, in our family, investing in them. One of the letters that Friday evening, I think, when we were over at the house for a little bit, Ann and I, they showed me this letter, and I asked if I could read part of it. I'll try. I'm telling you, the tears were rolling that night. This is a letter to her grandchildren that she had written. To my grandchildren. You know I love you all. You know how much I love you all. I've got to bring it up here. I am so happy, and it makes my heart happy that you all live your life for our Lord and Savior. And I want you to know all of these kids are a part of this church. In confirmation, in Sunday school, high school, they are very faithful. Sorry, kids, but tears are okay. It's so good to see you all in church. When I could still make it to church, the last year wasn't so much able to be here. I so missed going. And then she talks about she was able to watch the services on our website here, but how it's just not quite the same as being here, and we know that. She goes on, I'm so proud of each and every one of you. You have all grown to have your own wonderful personalities. I know that you will all do wonderful in your life. Just keep your life focused on our Lord and Savior. Now, is that beautiful? That is beautiful. Two times in there, kids, she's laying that challenge before you. And I know you're going to all have a copy of that letter. And you keep that all of your days. And you read that. And you take that challenge. And you live your life for the Lord to the fullest. On this second point, last, I wanted to share, if you haven't looked through the pictures and out there, on the table, look, there's a plaque, just 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper that she wrote on their family rules. And there's, I didn't count, about 10 rules. Wrote it out, gave it to every one of the kids in their homes. Every rule written, scripture below it. And I don't know if it's in all of their fridges or where it's at in their homes, but it's all there. How else do we store up treasure in heaven? Third point here and my last point. By serving others. Serving others and being a witness to them in the way that we live our lives. The other passage she chose is Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Jesus speaking again. Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. See, the call goes out. From Christ, the call goes out. As we become his children and we know him as our Lord and Savior, the call should be going out through us. To whosoever believeth on him shall inherit eternal life. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have eternal life. Call out to him. Repentance, call out to him in faith. Belva's life was very much about putting others first. Just go back to the care center quickly. I'm telling you, to work at a care center is a wonderful calling. To be a blessing, to work at whether it's our care center or another whatever care center, you're going to have to put others first. Otherwise, it's not going to work. For a person that would take that job or career on just for the money of it, which isn't much there, it's not going to work. You got to love those people. You got to be willing to put them first and do the hard things. And she did in her own gentle, caring, kind, considerate way over and over again. And that's just a natural outflow, again, of knowing Jesus. So back to what I read there at the beginning, what Jesus said to Mary and Martha at Lazarus' death. What did he say? He said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he is. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. It's the wonderful news of today that we have. It's the hope. It's what gives us comfort to make through, to get through the sorrow of this day, that we know Belva lives, even though her physical body is here in this casket. And as beautiful as she is, as beautiful a woman as she always was her years on this earth, when she took that last breath, that fast, in a moment, she was with the Lord in heaven. Whoever lives, he or she who believes in me will live, even though she dies. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. When we receive Christ, we have eternal life already on this earth in us. And we just step on over. She leaves this earth suit, and she is with Jesus. And then he said to them, "Do you believe this? Martha, Mary, do you believe this?" And I say this often, I'm going to say it today. That's the question we're each going to have to answer. Each going to have to answer. "Oh, I don't believe it, Pastor Mike." Well, you're going to have to answer it, whether you believe it or not. Sort of like gravity, before men figured out what that really was. "Well, I don't believe in gravity." Well, jump off the top of the building and see what happens. It's there, whether we believe it or not. And God's word is true, whether people believe it or not. And she answered, Martha said, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." He is the anointed one, fully God, fully man, Jesus. And he is Belva's Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word to us. Thank you for the challenges you give to each of us. You ask us that very same question. I don't know everybody here by any means, but you do. You know us each inside and out. And you know where we're at with that question right there. And Lord, if there would happen to be someone here who has denied it, "I don't want to answer it, I'm not going to answer it, don't care about it," you still love them. You love them incredibly enough that you won't give up on them and you'll keep working. And I thank you for Belva, for the witness that you were through her life to all of us here and so many who aren't here, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd stand with me, please. I'm going to have one more prayer from which I'll go into the Lord's Prayer and ask you to join me at that time. If you'd like, we are accustomed to using the words debts and debtors when we come to that point. Let's pray once more. And so, Father, we know you are the giver of life. Lord, you are the conqueror of death. We sing, Father, a song that says, from life's first cry to final breath, you are the one who commands our destiny. And so you do. We thank you, Father, for Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, who is the resurrection and the life. And as we've just read, you said, whoever lives and believes in you, though she may die physically, yet shall she live. And we know that Belva does live in heaven with you. And so, Father, with faith in your great mercy and in your wisdom, we do entrust Belva to your eternal care. We praise you, Father, for your steadfast love and faithfulness to Belva all the days of her life on this earth. And Father, thank you for all that she is and was to all of us here today. The memories she has left us with, the things she has taught us. Father, finally, we thank you that for Belva, death itself has now passed, and she has entered heaven to spend eternity with you, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If you'll please receive the benediction. And now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Savior, Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, may he equip you with everything good, that you may do God's will, working in you that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Our recessional song, the words will be on the screen, is Amazing Grace. The family will go to the cemetery first for the committal service. If others want to come, you can. We all know it's very cold out. Where the committal service will be, you'll have to walk a distance. So I just want to say that ahead. You might want to just wait here in the social hall. The family would very much love it if you could join them for lunch and visit with them after that. And on that note, those that stay, will you wait, please, until we get back for lunch, and we'll have a prayer at that time. Amazing grace.